Paul, there's a story that's been around for years about an American veteran who was exposed to radioactive gas in 1927. It knocked him out. He woke up in the 25th century to a very changed world. That was Buck Rogers. You and I have been on a hiatus from this program for the past 3 weeks. And since then, now that we're back live, we are in a very changed world. Things are much different now than they were 3 weeks, a month ago. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning on Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
Yeah. That's all I can say. And by the way, this show is the opinions of Paul Rosen and perhaps Rod McLaughlin as well. Just in counterpoint to the to the double introduction that they're not the opinion of the particular station.
That was a cool disclaimer at the beginning there. I think that was our engineer Matt, by the way. That sounded like his voice.
If
it wasn't, it must have been his spiritual twin or something.
Well, we were scheduled to talk about the how to handle fatigue and insomnia, and we still will. But of course, on everybody's mind is the coronavirus, COVID-19. And just so you know, folks, I've been in my clinic for the past week. I've seen many, many people, some of which are sick, some of which are not, and we're able to handle whatever it is so far that's been thrown in our direction. It's really important to ratchet down the fear, right? There are things that you can do, some of which are very simple. Of course, the washing hands, which is really something you should have been doing all along, but now put your attention to it. And when you go out in public, right, if you are touching things that are not part of your particular domicile, don't put your hands on your face, because this particular virus is known to spread via the droplets that can come about through a sneeze or a cough, or somebody who lays their hands, who has moistness on their hands, lays them on a surface. And so if you're concerned, and you should be, then just wash your hands with soap and water and forget these sanitizers, because they contain ingredients that are harmful to your immune system. I mean, one of them is an antibiotic, triclosan, which really shouldn't be used with any regularity. In my personal opinion, not at all, right? Because there's no way for you to sterilize your skin. Your entire body is made up of microbiota of all sorts. We call it the microbiome. Trillions upon trillions of bacteria and viruses, and even some parasites or fungi, and they're all part of you. And that's a good thing, because many of those that are part of you are actually essential to, for example, digest and absorb the food that you consume. So let's not get overly crazed. You cannot sterilize your hands. It will never happen. Just soap and water, soap and warm water. While you're doing it, sing happy birthday a couple of times. That'll be long enough. And that's really important. And the other thing that I want to say, I guess I'm just getting right to it, huh?
Yeah, you get right to it. Everything you're saying is relevant, keep going.
The other thing that I want to share is that these hand sanitizers or sanitizers of surfaces, you can make your own, extremely effective, without the ingredients that will compromise your immune system and create a chemical overburden for your system. And this is the recipe. You ready?
Ready.
The recipe is, you will, this microphone seems to be cutting in and out. I don't know.
It's sounding loud and clear over here.
Thank
so
you.
It may be a headphone issue with you.
Maybe. Technological difficulties.
Could be.
Challenges.
Could be. We'll work with that.
Why should today be any different than it has been?
Actually, you know, considering everything else going on, that's the least of our considerations right now.
So what you do is you get yourself a little spray bottle, anywhere between 4 and 8 ounces, and put some aloe vera, like a third of the content, aloe vera, and then 2/3 of Everclear. Everclear is a high-proof grain alcohol. It's got to be at least 150 to 190 proof. And then add some drops of essential oil, oregano and or lemon.
All right.
And you've got yourself a demister, you know, an air aerosol, and you've got yourself a sanitizer that will work on all surfaces. You'll avoid the chemistry of the commercial products. And that's what we're using at our clinic.
And by the way, you're not selling any of these products.
No,
this is your advice to create a sanitizer that will be safe and effective.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're not selling these things.
So lest anybody think we're profiteering from this, that is not the case. Paul's just giving you good advice on how you can best protect yourself.
The fear is the emotion that puts people in paralysis. And decisions made in fear are almost always going to end up badly. So how do you avoid fear in a time like this, where the fear is ginned up to such a degree, it's unspeakable? And that is knowledge. That's basically how you do it.
I like that approach, Paul. That's the way we should do it. One way maybe to expand your base of knowledge and help make yourself healthier is to give us a call right now, 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. You can talk about any health issue this morning, as always, on Health Matters with Paul Rosen. If you call and go on the air with Paul, you get a copy of his book, or can get a copy of his book, The Missing Piece. Also, the website is available 24/7, acunatural.com, acunatural.com. All kinds of great health information there, 24/7. And, of course, podcast editions of this program.
Yes. And, by the way, just so no one gets upset, we don't mail these books out. You got to come pick it up at our office. But it will be autographed and ready for you if you make the call now. Get on the air and ask a question. I mean, somebody out there has got to have a question about what's going on. In any event, fatigue and insomnia, on the one hand, you're running out of gas, and on the other, your gas pedal is stuck to the floor. Either way, prescription medications will never address the root cause. We can talk about safer options, and I already revealed how to make your own hand and surface sanitizer, so... Yeah.
That's a good start right there. That's a very good place to begin preparing yourself for making yourself healthier. And by the way, fatigue and insomnia, for example, I think now we're more aware than ever of our own personal health. In other words, if we show any symptoms whatsoever of any kind of illness, we're suddenly much more concerned now than we may have been, say, a month ago.
And the interesting thing is the most powerful tool we have as a human being is our immune system. So wouldn't it be nice to know how to actually bolster, but more important, maintain a healthy, strong, effective immune system?
So that's the best way, I would think, overall, to prepare ourselves for the present situation or any future health issue that we may, as a society and as individuals, have to deal with.
And I have done shows about each specific topic, like the immune system. All you have to do is go and access the podcast. You can either go to the either look it up on the web or go on my website specifically, and you can see them there. But the bottom line is, how do you bolster your immune system? It's not necessarily by supplementation, by taking zinc, by taking all of these antioxidants, because lots of times, as I have found in my clinic, when I evaluate each individual person, the uniquenesses of you as an individual may not respond to those commonly talked about supplements to support your immune system. And that's what I've discovered over the past 25, 30 years. You can't supplement your way to health. It's not possible.
So from that statement, Paul, I assume there's a body of knowledge out there that's saying if you supplement with zinc and antioxidants and that kind of thing.
You can just look it up. Yeah, you can go on the web and say, oh, how can I, you know, what supplements would be useful? But the truth of the matter is your immune system first and foremost responds to what you put in your mouth every day, day after day, month after month, year after year. And if you want to turn back the clock on the eroding immune system that you're walking around with today, and most people are, because they don't heed something that I say on every show, which is don't eat sugar. They think I'm crazy. I mean, how could you live a life without eating sugar? Well, folks, I will tell you, it's really easy. Right? Why don't you walk across the street against a light?
Because I don't want to get hit by a
bus. Because you don't want to get hit by a bus. It's the same thing. So here we are now in the middle of a pandemic, right? And although it is extremely serious, and I am totally compassionate as I am putting my life on the line by going to my clinic and working with people, and I'm okay with that. The idea that a practitioner wouldn't, who's taking care of people's health, is sort of like a lifeguard on the beach watching somebody drown and saying, you know what, I don't think I'll go in there. That looks a little dangerous.
You know, when there is a historical event like what we're going through now, I think in terms of our health, we're thinking more about that than we were, say, a month ago again or at any other time during our lives. And I was actually surprised, Paul, to have you tell me before the show that you've had an incredibly busy week at your practice.
Yes,
I mean,
because
people are sheltering in place or doing whatever they're doing, they're still coming out to take care of their bodies.
I have a core group of people who have been open enough to learn the secrets of both how to maintain and restore their health in general. And they recognize that if they're not feeling well, if something is off, they are taught by me to come in to be tested using this nutrition response testing technology. By the way, you can go to acunatural.com and look it up and see what it is so that we can stay ahead of this. The people who are suffering dramatically and dying have passed the mild fever, the runny nose, the sore throat, you know, et cetera, the dry cough. They've passed that, you know, trying to hold out. Now, some people do get hit torrentially. It speaks to a number of things. Number one, a weakened immune system, and there's also a genetic component to it as well. I'm certain. But most people try to wait it out. And my patients don't. My patients don't. They know that if something's off, they better come in and get seen, be evaluated, and go back to it. But anyway, at the end of the day, it's most important that you realize that your immune system is the only tool that we have as human beings in order to deal with the environment as a whole. And keeping that immune system pumped up, keeping it ready to rock and roll, is the first, biggest, best key to avoiding completely and or overcoming something like COVID-19 or the coronavirus. And the first thing you really have to start to get into your psyche is that you cannot eat concentrated sweeteners. And you really do have to limit your intake of high glycemic carbohydrates. What's a high glycemic carbohydrate? Grains are high glycemic carbohydrates. So in particular, you've heard me say many times, wheat, corn, and soy should be avoided. End of story. Just don't eat it. Eat something else. There are plenty of things to eat out there. Now, oftentimes people will say, well, what specifically? Tell me what I should eat. The problem is that that's irresponsible on my part. Because without evaluating you as an individual, looking at you as a human being unique in all of your human beingness, right? There's a way to actually identify with the highest degree of certainty what your unique needs are. And we can do that and then put together a strategy and go forward. But in general, having been doing this work for the past 25, 30 years, I can say that you could drop all concentrated sweeteners, and that means concentrated juice too, fruit too, right? Fruit juices. If you think orange juice is good for a cold, you're out of your mind. You're just feeding the bugs.
Why are you looking at me when you say that? Because I was an advocate for years.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's why. But in any case, fruit juice isn't it? Chicken soup? That's another story. So instead of increasing your liquids, I don't drink coffee or tea. I'm one of those people who reacts very strongly to caffeine. You know, really gins me up. It's uncomfortable. So in the morning, I have a cup of soup or broth every morning. It's comforting. It's nutrient dense. It's satisfies the liquid intake as well. So these are just habits that I didn't have before I was deathly sick. And now I do, because I learned that, you know what? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
So let me take that thought, Paul. You presented already a good alternative for hand sanitizers and now a good alternative for our morning coffee or tea.
Yes.
I think we can take that rule and extend it across the board. We can think of almost any bad eating habit that we have, and there's a healthy alternative to that. But you have to know specifically what would work best for you.
The funny thing is oftentimes I will hear, even some of my patients will, go rogue. And the rationale for it is I just needed a treat. And I never really understood that.
Really? You don't understand that whole idea of comfort
because,
food?
Because isn't it comforting right now to know that I have the strongest immune system I could possibly have? Looking into the face of what appears to be, the greatest pandemic of our time.
Fair enough. And I think I'm being devil's advocate.
And that's why I love you.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I think people will reach for something. They'll use it as a rationalization for eating something lousy. In other words, they'll have a Snickers bar because, A, it is comfort food, but B, it's also just, using that as an excuse because they want to have a Snickers bar.
Remember, knowledge is power.
Correct.
So when we started off the program, I was talking about the microbiome and all of the microbiota or pathogens that are an integral part of why this organism can remain vital and alive.
Let me
stay on the planet.
The microbiome is your stomach. It's in your stomach.
It's in your gut.
All right.
It's in your gut.
And it's very important for
the
functioning of your entire body.
Yes, and it's actually the greatest part of your immune system. That's where it is.
And you have to keep that healthy. And there are, now tell me if I'm wrong here, there are good and bad bacteria.
There are. And there are some of each. More of the good, less of the bad. But even some of the bad pathogens that we would consider, if they got out of their cage, could do damage. But they also have specific functions within the body that are absolutely essential for us to remain vital and alive. So bad doesn't mean like 100% bad. Good doesn't mean 100% good. There's a balance that occurs. And when you eat concentrated sweeteners and when you stuff yourself with high glycemic carbohydrates, you alter that balance. And the comfort food thing really is actually, now this is going to be kind of weird, but This is the truth.
Because nothing on this program is weird.
Everything's weird. The bugs in your gut actually inform your brain as to what it may like and what it may not like, or what it may want and what it may desire or not desire.
So how does that work?
Well, if you're I gotta have that sweet. That's not coming from you.
There are millions of people having that thought right now.
That's not coming from you. That's coming from your gut. That's coming from those live pathogens in your gut going, hey, I'm hungry. Feed me.
Okay, fair enough. But in lieu of the sweet, what do you feed them?
You know, that is a good question. So, I've told you what not to eat, concentrated sweeteners and wheat, corn, and soy for three. Some other people might not be able to eat eggs. Some people might not be able to eat dairy. But all of that can be discovered if they come and get evaluated using the technology that I possess and have utilized for the past 25 or 30 years.
I think right now is an excellent time to be diet conscious for all the reasons we've discussed so far, but also a pal of mine in the past month, I swear, has gained maybe 10 pounds because he's been spending more time at home. And what does he do when he's at home? He stuffs his face. That's what he does all day long. So,
well, it's, and you know, there's, I mean, again, these bugs are calling, feed me, feed me. And the other reason is, and we're going to hear this from from the testimonial that
Reynold, your patient.
Yeah, Reynold, is that the when you eat that kind of food, you feed the bad bugs, and you also that doesn't contain those foods don't contain the nutrient density that your body actually needs to perform. So the hunger system goes haywire and is continually calling out, you know, hey, we need some food. We need some nutrient density. Come on, come on, come on. And the more you eat of the processed foods and the high glycemic foods and the sweeteners, the more that system goes out of whack and the hungrier you are.
So
people find out is when they eat the food that they should be eating. And again, in total, this is what we design for people, the nutritional healing program that we design. They don't have that response. That sugar craving, that carbohydrate craving simply disappears. It's simple. It's
but also,
easy.
If you're eating properly and healthily, you're satisfying your appetite.
That's
why.
You're
not just creating the conditions for your body to demand more food.
And which is another reason why when you're eating properly that you lose weight. Weight is not an issue in our clinic. Just by starting a program, you could lose anywhere between 7 and 15 pounds doing nothing.
I should send my buddy to you immediately because he's going to be...
But that drive... I've got to have that Kit Kat bar. That's not you speaking. That's bugs speaking. Just think of it like that. You know that commercial, those commercials sometimes you see, you know, when they're trying to sell you some prescription medication or some sanitizer or some cleaner or something, you know, those little green bugs. Just think of that.
That's kind of horrifying.
That's horrifying. So stop feeding them. These are facts. These are the way it is. The rules of the game. I learned them. I didn't make them up.
503-222-9700 to talk to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters with Paul Rosen. 503-222-9700. Any health issue is fair game. Call now. Get a copy of Paul's book, The Missing Piece. And also, 24/7, go to the website, acunatural.com, acunatural.com, and check out podcast editions of this program. There's a podcast tab. Just click on that and you're good to go.
So I know that changing habits is not easy for human beings. It's just not. So if you need to take baby steps, take baby steps. Now, most of the people that I see in my clinic are people who are already suffering from some chronic condition or other. Can be any kind of thing, migraines or acid reflux or Crohn's disease or depression or irritability or anxiety or any of these things. And so their systems are already broken down to the point where they've got a red light on the dashboard, you know, it's been blinking for months or years. But for those folks, you know, who aren't quite ready yet, these are the simple steps you can take. Stop eating concentrated sweeteners. And that includes honey and maple syrup, folks. And especially agave syrup, for Pete's sakes. That stuff is just plain poison.
Really? Now, at my neighborhood coffee shop, which I have been supporting, by the way, it's a small business, and now more than ever, we want to support our small businesses. They have takeout, like everybody else does now, but they also have right there by the coffee urns, you know, it's self-serve. You get your cup, you walk over, you pour your coffee. They have agave syrup. It's right there in a dispenser. You can put as much of that in your coffee as you
want. And do you know
what
you should do with it?
I don't use it. I don't use sweetener
in
my coffee.
You just leave it there. You watch it. You look at it if you want, but then you just turn your back and walk away.
I'm sure glad you said that, because I saw that there and I thought maybe that was meant to be a healthy alternative, but apparently not. It's just as bad as regular sweetener, right?
Regular sweetener, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And stevia, but again, there are oh my gosh, how many products of stevia? 100% pure organic stevia is one of the few sweeteners you can use. The other sweetener that I use is onions.
Onions?
Caramelized onions.
So those can be used to sweeten up what various dishes you might prepare?
Absolutely. It works beautifully. It's perfect. You don't need sugar. Why do you put sugar? Anyway.
Because it's so good. Because sugar tastes good. Let's face it.
Sugar
is the worst thing in the world for us, but we wouldn't be consuming it if there wasn't a benefit. And the benefit is it tastes good.
No, that's not a benefit.
Really?
It's a drug.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a drug. I mean, you know, the addict can say the same thing about cocaine or alcohol or heroin or anything else.
Well, they do say that.
Yeah.
You know, they say there's a benefit. We're junkies for a reason. It's not because we know it's horrible for us. It's because it gives them a high, which takes an incredible cost.
And given the world as it is and human complexities of human beings and emotional, you know, whatnots, sometimes I guess it's almost understandable, except it's completely defeatist and ultimately undermining on every level. Now, sugar may not be quite as dramatic as, say, cocaine or heroin, but the bottom line is the effect on the body is the same.
I don't think anybody
will. It's the same chemistry.
Nobody will. Well, they may, you know, not be aware of that so much, but I don't think anybody who even consumes sugar in great quantities will fail to concede that it's bad for you. It is bad for you. They know that, but they consume it anyway.
So does the rest of the drug addicted world.
And maybe that's the point.
So, anyway, my point is that I know that I can't see everybody, and maybe everybody really isn't ready to get serious and get their own unique program and stop wasting money on supplements you don't need and don't work and all of that. And you'll know that's true because you have a symptom that you haven't been able to kick or that comes and goes. And if you're ready to finally actually do something about it with the highest degree of certainty, sure, come and see us. Come and join our community. I encourage you. But for those of you who aren't ready, the small steps that you can take are avoid concentrated sweeteners, including sugar and agave syrup and maple syrup and, you know, all that stuff. High glycemic carbohydrates, including wheat, corn, and soy.
Did you read about these two clowns, to somewhat switch subjects, Paul, these two guys who bought a whole bunch of hand sanitizer on Amazon and from Costco, and then they went out front at various storefronts and tried to resell them at a highly marked up price? Did you hear about those guys?
It doesn't surprise me.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me either.
It's always the worst of human nature.
There are a number of lessons to be drawn for that. And one is that there are always profiteers. No matter the disaster,
profiteer,
the human toll,
yeah,
there are always going to be some yo-yos who want to make money off it. Anyway, the bad publicity they got was so severe, they're now giving away all those hand sanitizers. They're just handing them out because they know.
Well, I hope they do the same for the senators that were. This is not a political show.
That we're profiteering,
show.
Yeah,
I'm not
from
getting
their
into that.
Inside stock information. But there's all that, and I guess the point I'm making is this. A, giving away the hand sanitizers doesn't make them any more healthy, does it?
No.
Okay.
You should avoid hand sanitizers at all costs.
So there are alternatives.
Wash your hands with soap and water. If you walk into a store, just go directly to the lavatory, wash your hands with soap and water, and then you can go, you know, do whatever.
Whatever you enjoy. If you enjoy high glycemic foods or if you enjoy sugar, whatever, you need to stop that, you're saying, and just find the healthy alternative.
I'm not saying stop enjoying yourself. I'm saying learn to enjoy in another fashion.
Well, that's the point I'm getting to also. Yeah.
Because I will tell you, when I was 45 years old, I was dying. And that's how much, that's where I had to be in order to finally wake up and start doing these things that I'm sharing with other people. Knowledge is power. And since then, I've been able to help people with all kinds of chronic disease, just utilizing the fundamental principles of nutrition response testing and nutrition itself, helping people get off of every kind of medication, from blood pressure medication and type 2 diabetes medication and migraine medication and pain medication. And I mean, the list just goes on and on.
And again, it's very heartening
just
to me.
Just utilizing nutrition. If you're a person who is tired of dealing with the side effects of prescription medications, and even if you don't know them, they're happening, you know, come and join us.
It's great to hear that your business is busy this week, because with so many other businesses having a hard time, I'm glad people are aware of their health and they're specifically coming to you to help address those issues.
Well, it's only busy because I'm there. Right? Wouldn't be that busy if I was.
Well,
there.
But I mean, maybe there's never been a better time for you to be at work, too, you know, to help people make themselves healthy and to deal with the present situation.
Any questions out there?
503-222-9700 to ask your questions of Paul Rosen about your health, maybe something that's going on with you or a loved one. If you're concerned about a member of your family who might be in the vulnerable population, that's us older folks. 503-222-9700.
So, you know, it's always good to hear from somebody else who I shared my technology with and knowledge with, who experienced their own turnaround. Reynold, a patient of mine, was experiencing fatigue and depression and irritability and acid reflux. And oh my gosh, the list kind of goes on.
Yeah, we might have a
call. We've got a phone call.
Well,
then let's take the phone call before we get into Reynolds.
We may get to that. I'm looking at the information here. I don't want to go into Reynolds' story without first making sure the call. Okay, we do have a call. It's Dee. She's ready and able to go. So, Dee, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
You're on the air with Paul Rosen.
Good morning, Dee.
Yes, good morning. I have post-nasal drip.
Yes.
And a lot of times I eat probably several meals a day, small ones, but mostly a good breakfast. And a lot of times if I say I eat a good breakfast and I come home after taking a long walk and I'm going to have like a protein drink or something,
mm-hmm.
it's like I don't feel really good unless I have something else like meat or eggs or something with salt in it, because sometimes the protein, I have this plant-based protein drink powder that I use sometimes.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel satisfied. I feel almost shaky sometimes. And I might be borderline hypoglycemic. And I have been gluten-free and dairy and sensitive.
You're doing some different things. Yeah, you're doing some different things. So what's your question?
Well, I would like to know about the post-nasal drip.
Ah,
I'm 81.
Okay.
I'm 81 years old.
Young. 81 years young, please.
Okay, young.
hey, by the way, Dee, you sound fantastic.
I don't have any medical problems, except I have gotten pneumonia before. I had really bad pneumonia in 2009. I think I might have had a hantavirus. I'm not sure. Anyway, and the post-nasal drip, and then this thing about not feeling satisfied unless I go and eat some soup or something, and, you know, instead of some other things that are almost what I call sweets. They're like desserts.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's get to it. So the first thing is that a constant nasal drip indicates that there's something going on with your thyroid.
Yes.
And so that's what we have to find out. I mean, there are any number of things that could be impacting your thyroid.
I was diagnosed with hyperparathyroidism back in like 2005. They called me after I had some blood work done. So I went to an endocrinologist for a few years, he retired. Then the endocrinologist now says, oh, we don't need to see you unless the number goes high. Well, my number did come down a little bit when I was with my primary care doctor a few weeks ago. And so I've read that if I stick to the gluten-free diet and these things that I'm sensitive to, even though I'm not allergic exactly, I can't see anything, but like you said, something's going on with my, it's my parathyroid, I guess, and I've been told that the cortisol level has a lot to do with that.
And anyway, in a way, all of that information is totally useless for us, really, because it doesn't tell you, it's like looking in the rearview mirror while you're driving, forward, right? It's where you've been. It's where you've been, not where you're going. And so just by giving the numbers and doing a blood test absolutely will not ever reveal the root cause of why that blood test may be anomalous or abnormal, right? It doesn't help. And unfortunately, you know, God bless them, because I don't make the assumption that people have malice in their hearts. But endocrinologists don't know much of anything when it comes to actually how the body works, the function. Because if they did, you wouldn't have a nasal drip and your thyroid would be just fine, thank you.
Well,
it's not that hard. But you have to have a way to be able to identify the food that you might be sensitive to, or the pathogen that you still are dealing with. You know, you can have a pathogen in your body that doesn't give you a fever or a cough or a sore throat, but is chronically irritating your thyroid or any other organ or gland in your body, or the heavy metal that may have accumulated in that gland, or chemicals, particularly this time of year, the pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, fertilizers that you're inhaling and certainly don't, you know, we don't know that. So there are a number of things that are that could be adversely affecting your thyroid. And if you want to know, come and join us. But those are the things that are happening. And let me say one other thing, too, if you don't mind, Yi, and that is that the sensation that you're getting when you take that protein product, you know, God bless it, is totally useless. Don't bother. It's a waste of money. I don't really know of any protein powder out there, quite frankly, right, that actually replaces food. And you are a perfect example of that. You eat that protein, you consume that protein powder, and then you have to actually go eat some food.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Like beans or, yeah. I have to eat beans or something with chips. Or
No chips. That's not useful. But
that's corn.
Yeah.
I was tested for food sensitivities in 2011, and I was sensitive to gluten, dairy, cranberries, tuna, hazelnuts and filberts, and almonds.
Okay.
And so I haven't had, like, tuna in over 10 years.
And how were you tested?
They did blood work at the alternative medicine, and my insurance didn't cover it. It cost me $250, but I tried to follow what I'm supposed to do for the most part, but I do fall off of it sometimes.
Yeah.
My weight is good. I'm not overweight, but I've always been an exercise person.
That's good. So the blood test isn't going to reveal all that's necessary. That's been my experience over 25, 30 years. The blood test simply doesn't reveal the entire, you know, panacea of what is going on. So whether or not, you know, that's the complete list or just partial list or whatever, there is a way to determine with unique specificity what additional issues could be affecting you. So, you know, I guess the answer, you know, the answers to your questions are, number one, I can solve it, but I'd have to see you. In lieu of that, avoid all sweeteners, wheat, corn, and soy, don't try to Don't try to supplement your way, to a solution, because it the likelihood that that'll happen is pretty low. Does that help?
Yes, it does. The other problem I have seborrheic keratosis, and I've had it for years.
So now you have to come and see me. That's it. Yeah. End of story.
I go to the dermatologist.
That tears it.
Oh, really?
That tears it. Yeah, because you have it. You have.
You're in Vancouver.
Yeah. So.
And I'm in Tigard.
Well.
So I would have to make a trip over there.
That you would. I have people that come and see me from around the country, so Tigard is pretty close.
Yeah.
But anyway, you think about it. Do you have access to the web?
Yeah.
So just go to the web and look at acunatural.com, and if it looks interesting to you, you can call and Sarah or Beth will invite you and give you whatever information you need. But the bottom line is, it sounds like in general you're, 81. I like the tone of your voice. It's really good and strong, and so you're in somewhat good health, but not as good a health as you think.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and there's no reason.
I do get tired.
There's no reason at 81 that you can't have a different and better quality of life. I mean, I'm 71. So, you got me by 10 years. But bottom line is, if you want to fix it, you come and join us.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're totally welcome. It's my pleasure.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Dee. Seborrheic keratosis, that's a skin condition?
Seborrheic keratosis.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Skin condition, yeah.
All right. 503-222-9700 to speak to Paul Rosen on Health Matters. Let's go to another call. Betty.
Right.
Hi, you're on the air with Paul Rosen. Betty.
Betty!
Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard you speak about a lot of different sweeteners.
Yes.
And I was wondering if honey would be a bad sweetener.
Well,
hang on. Before you go on, Paul, Betty, if you have your radio on in the background, could you turn that off, please?
Yeah, we're getting an echo. We're getting an echo. It's coming.
Okay.
Okay, great. So the thing about sweeteners in general is that, you hear all of the benefits and wonderful features of things like honey and maple syrup and those types of things. And I understand that. I know that. But are you on any medications or experiencing any, symptoms, chronic symptoms that come and go or come and stay?
I've been on levothyroxine for many years.
Okay.
For thyroid.
Yeah. So sweeteners for you are absolutely and totally useless. They are contraindicated, especially if you've got thyroid problems. Which, by the way, do you still have your thyroid?
Yes.
Then totally fixable. It's fixable. So the way levothyroxine works, or any hormone replacement, is like this. So for some reason, at some point, your thyroid shuts down, right? Probably years ago. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It shuts down. So has anybody ever answered the question, why?
No.
No. So.
No.
So you get a blood test, and it says, TSH is really high, or what? I don't know if you had hyper or hypo or whatever. Probably hypo. And the blood test is reflecting that your thyroid is not responding to the stimulus of what's called your pituitary gland. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So your pituitary gland is kind of the general or the manager of all of the endocrine glands in your body, thyroid being one of them. So the pituitary goes, hey, I'm sending you some stimulating hormone because I'm getting the feedback that you've gone fishing. And the thyroid's not responding. So it pumps out more and more and more. And when they take the blood test, that's what they're seeing. The problem is if you just supplement your levothyroxine, for example, right? Then then when you do a blood test, you might see that thyroid stimulating hormone goes down. But because of the way the body works, that thyroxin has put the thyroid to sleep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's called a negative feedback loop. That's the way the hormone system works in the body. So if there's enough hormone in the body, then the endocrine gland will get this message. Okay, you know, slow down. Or if there's not enough, it'll get a message, speed up. But if you're artificially putting in hormone, that's telling the thyroid, hey, you know, you can go to sleep.
Efficient.
Yeah. So by not knowing why that thyroid all of a sudden has gone fishing and taking
right.
thyroid hormone, that thyroid never has a chance to actually, you know, come back from fishing.
Hmm.
So that's what we do. You know, that's one of the things that we do in our clinic. And there are so many symptoms, you know, thyroid symptoms that you may be experiencing, a few of them anyway. Emotionally, when the thyroid is not doing well, you can get depression or blue moods or irritability. You know, it's the flip side of the same coin. And from the physical standpoint, you got, you know, dry hair, brittle nails, you know, lethargy, lack of energy. You can have eye problems of various. Anyway, the thyroid is one of those really important glands of the body that basically affect almost every function in it.
Yeah, I don't have any of the problems that you mentioned, but
thank
I do
goodness.
Have a constant sinus drip.
Ah, another sign. Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. So, just like I was speaking to Dee, the same thing holds true for you. And isn't it interesting we get it right down to the thyroid? Because that's what it is. So, for example, a lot of people will not have a sinus drip in the winter, but they'll start getting it in the spring. And that's been labeled seasonal allergies. Well, I will tell you, in almost 30 years of practice, I'm pushing a little bit. I think it's 28, so forgive me.
You said almost.
I'm rounding off.
It's good.
I have never seen a person who has seasonal allergy symptoms like, you know, a sinus drainage or, you know, itchy eyes or an ass that has had a problem with pollen in almost 30 years.
So what is
Is that strange or what? It's strange, right? But 100% of them have a problem with the chemicals that are absolutely explode in the spring. And those are pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, and fertilizers.
Ah,
aha!
I heard
makes,
you mention that.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Uh-huh, yes it does.
And if you think about it, that goes all the way through until the fall when they stop using them. Cool, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So what does that mean? That means that, you know, after, I mean, you're probably at least 39 years old, I take it? What was that?
At least.
At least 39. And so, you know, your body has been undergoing the siege of these chemicals for a good long time. And it's had enough. So what do you do? Well, the first thing you do is you got to find out what's vexing the thyroid, you know, specifically. Is it foods? Mm-hmm. Is it chemicals? Is it metals? Is it some latent pathogen? Right? And then once we do that, oh my gosh, life changes. It changes. Even at your advanced age of 39.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're. I got people who are in their 90s that come to see me. They've had enough. They've had enough of their medication. They've had enough of, you know, feeling bad. And you say, well, yeah, but geez, they're 90 years old. Doesn't matter, right? If you're going to live, you might as well live with the greatest amount of vitality that you can.
Right. And my husband is 80 years old, and he's on a host of different blood pressure medications.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there's a reason why. There's a reason why his adrenal glands and his liver are not happy. That's why he's got high blood pressure. And of course, I'm certain that he loves his corn chips and salsa.
Oh, yes.
Nothing wrong with the salsa, by the way.
And sugar.
But, you know.
And sugar.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I get it. I mean, everybody's unique and everybody has their own, you know, sense of whatnot. But the bottom line is it's not doing him any good and it hasn't done him any good for as long as it, you know, anyway, whatever. And so this is the result. You know, that's what we're seeing with our friends and neighbors and whatnot. We're seeing all of these people, by the time you're 50 years old, you're on at least three medications. Now, doesn't that seem odd to you, Betty?
It does, yes.
I mean, why on earth should we need to be taking so many medications? I mean, other than filling the pockets of the big pharma, and I don't want to get into the political aspects, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
So we as individuals, if we have the knowledge and we have the capability, shouldn't we use it?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to ask one more question.
Sure.
And that is, what about Greek yogurt?
Well, I mean, we don't know. I mean, to tell you, okay, it's fine, go eat it, wouldn't be right. Because I don't know whether or not you might be sensitive to a dairy product. I wouldn't know that unless I could test you.
Okay.
But you know, let's just make the assumption that you were okay with dairy. A yogurt being a fermented product certainly would be, you know, better than whole milk or, you know, pasteurized product, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want to fix your thyroid, you know, come join us. I invite you. In any case, come get your free book.
As soon as all this
craziness stops.
Yeah.
Over.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But you heard me on that in the beginning of the show, I hope. I don't know when you tuned in, but you know, if you can go back, the show is going to be posted on my website, it's a podcast, so you can re-listen to what I, you know, the types of things I'm recommending that you do, you know, during this particular, you know, period of time. So,
soy, corn, and sugar, stay away from it.
Wheat, corn, so yes, stay away from it, especially for you because it the thyroid is particularly susceptible.
Okay.
Yeah, particularly susceptible. Does you no good.
Well, thank you so much.
You are totally welcome, and thanks for calling and listening, and one day maybe I'll get a chance to meet you.
Possibly.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Betty. Be safe. All right, Paul, I want to backtrack a little bit on something Betty said. She referred to a thyroid medication called
Levothyroxine. It's one of the most common hormone replacement medications that are used.
And your point was, by taking that supplement, was she making her thyroid unable to produce hormones?
I mean, it's kind of like it put, yeah, it kind of puts it to sleep because it's saying if there is that hormone in your bloodstream, then we don't need to make it.
So there's another example of a medication having an unintended side effect. Is that right?
It's really the exact wrong thing to do. If you have a way to determine why the thyroid has gone fishing, if you have a way to do that, and Western medicine does not, then, you know, hey, the levothyroxine sounds okay. So somebody might say, well, how come when I take that levothyroxine, or if I don't take it, I've got these symptoms, or my symptoms are worse? Well, That hormone will have some impact and put in some support, but it never really resolved the whole issue because the whole list of symptoms, some of which I mentioned, right, they're probably still experiencing, which means that the thyroid is pretty much still in the same debilitated state, taking the hormone or not.
So as opposed to taking a catch-all medication, it's better maybe to specify what your needs are in terms of your thyroid condition.
I mean, to me, it's like, you know, having a leak in your bathroom.
How's that?
Well, Every day you walk in and you see there's water on the floor. So you pull out a sponge and you sponge it up.
And then you go the next day and there's another
And there's
leak.
Another puddle.
Right.
And you do the same thing.
Every single day. And nothing really is fixed.
And you never fix it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, your floor is getting more warped every
day. Yeah. And I say long term, not a good strategy.
That's a very good analogy, Paul. So go to the website, AccuNatural.com, ACUNatural.com. You'll find more information there, podcast editions of the show and all kinds of good things. And maybe are you going to be able to post, for example, your formula for healthy hand sanitizer?
I will post it on my Facebook page.
Okay, that's a good place to go to.
Yeah.
And actually, if you go to Paul Rosen, Paul J. Rosen on Facebook or AccuNatural, you'll find other health and safety tips for dealing with the present situation.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was quick, wasn't it? Yeah, we're almost done with today's show.
What happened?
Well, we had a lot of good information and a lot to cover. And I might add, Paul, we're going to have plenty to cover in the coming weeks, too. So
yeah.
We're not going to lack for conversational topics.
I want to wish everybody stay safe. Do the simple things. Wash your hands. If you're going to places out there, if you can get your hands on some gloves, disposable gloves, fine, do it. Otherwise, soap and water, hand sanitizer, be posted on my Facebook page. Next week, heart disease remains the leading cause of death after 80 years, leaving experts wringing their hands for a solution. The problem is that the solution is so close, but they're too invested in the wrong theory to see it. Here's a hint: dietary cholesterol is not evil. Plus, the surprise best foods for your heart. In the meantime, remember, you ate your way to your illness. You can eat your way out. Remember, folks, keep your food fresh.